thing I remember, Doc, I started to swerve. And then I saw the Jag slide into the curve. I know I'll never forget that horrible sight. I guess I found out for myself that everyone was right.
Yo.
Dead Man's Curve, local news, timeless hits, WRJN. Researchers in Japan have a new type of alarm that prevents you from daydreaming. It tracks your brain waves and plays a tone when it senses your mind is wandering. They're hopeful that it's something we'll want to use at work, not something we're forced to use at work. The problem is, that's going to go off all day with me because I'm constantly daydreaming. It's 7:01, local news, timeless hits. Coming up right after the top of the hour, we're talking to Skip Bliss, former owner of WRJN. It's our historical marker number 12 coming up. But first, let's check news.
Local news and timeless hits, WRJN, Racine, Kenosha.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A new wildfire emergency in Southern California. More than 30,000 people have been ordered to leave Castaic, north of Los Angeles, where the fast-moving Hughes Fire has exploded in size. This student was at school.
You could see, like, all the smoke coming in and, like, it kind of would block out the sun, so then everyone was kind of freaking out, and, like, I ended up just leaving, and then there were kids just, like, running to their cars just to get home.
L.A. County Fire Chief Anthony Maroney.
The situation remains dynamic, and the fire remains a difficult fire to contain, although we are getting the upper hand.
President Trump is threatening to withhold aid for the wildfires. He tells Fox's Sean Hannity.
FEMA is going to be a whole big discussion very shortly because I'd rather see the states take care of their own problems.
Mr. Trump repeated a false claim. Governor Newsom and other public officials have refused to allow water from the northern part of California to flow into the L.A. area. A federal judge will hear a bid by four states to block Mr. Trump's birthright citizenship order today. CBS's Heather Bosch is in Seattle.
Washington's among several states challenging the order, which ends the practice of granting babies born to non-citizens in the U.S. automatic U.S. citizenship. State Attorney General Nick Brown.
One man cannot simply erase what the meaning of the Constitution is, not even the president.
He says the president's order is unconstitutional.
Students in Nashville are reliving the horror after police say a 17-year-old opened fire in the Antioch High School cafeteria, killing a classmate and wounding another before turning the gun on himself. Candace Huss was a few feet away.
I felt like my whole world was crumbling apart in my hands, and I didn't have my phone, so I couldn't call my mom.
Police in San Antonio, Texas, say seven officers were shot responding to a suicide-in-progress call. Chief William McManus says they arrived at an apartment complex.
SWAT arrived on the scene. The suspect barricaded himself inside the apartment for several hours. At the end of the event, the suspect was found to be deceased.
He says it's not clear if he was shot by officers or killed himself. The first black woman to join the U.S. Army Nurse Corps has died at the age of 104. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
Nancy Lieutenant Collin, who died earlier this month, was remembered by family and friends for quietly breaking down racial barriers. She had a long military career. She joined the Nurse Corps in the 1940s after the military was desegregated. Active in the Korean and Vietnam Wars, she helped set up hospital wards and medical evacuation flights.
S&P futures are down 8, Dow futures up 41. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Some fluffy stuff came down overnight. The National Weather Service did issue an alert about the snow that came down in areas last night. Between a dusting and a little more than an inch is in place, a warm-up is coming this weekend. The latest is coming up in the forecast. Charges have been filed in a fatal Racine hit and run back in December. 19-year-old Shamia Anderson has been charged with knowingly operating a motor vehicle without a valid license and hit and run resulting in a death. It follows the fatal collision on December 9th. The victim, 44-year-old Dwayne Carr, was hit on Memorial Drive and later died due to his injuries at the hospital. Anderson allegedly told police she had never had a driver's license. She did flee the scene, but later called to confess. A water main break has one Kenosha Elementary closed today. The principal at Forest Park Elementary posted on social media last night about a major water main break impacting the building. The incident has resulted in a loss of water and restrooms that aren't working. City crews are at the school today trying to make a fix. In his seventh State of the State address, Governor Tony Evers declared 2025 to be the year of the kid. He outlined several policies, programs, and initiatives in an attempt to make kids smarter, healthier, and safer.
We cannot let common sense get lost in debates over whether basic policies could have prevented the most recent shooting, or the one before that, or the one before that. We aren't here in Madison to quibble about the semantics of the last shooting. We are here to do everything we can to prevent the next one.
The Republican response to the speech was delivered by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
It's the Bucks and the Heat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks flew back today after getting snowed out in New Orleans last night. Their game against the Pelicans to be rescheduled. Tonight, they're at home against the Miami Heat. The Bucks have 13 games left before the All-Star break, nine of them on the road. At 24-17, can they hold on to that fourth place spot in the East? Damian Lillard.
We got to be there mentally. You know, we got to be engaged. We got to be disciplined, and we got to be together.
NFL former Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson held his first press conference as the new head coach of the Chicago Bears.
I've got tremendous amount of respect for the coaches and the players in this league, having competed against them for the last 6 years. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, you're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards as the season ends here. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
That's the Bears' Ben Johnson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 20 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 10 to 20, and that'll keep the wind chill hovering either side of zero here for a good chunk of the day. Tonight, 4 above. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 22. We're back to 35 by Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
That was cool. People always ask you those questions, though. And I was like, Michael, what are you going to do after graduation? I was like, well, I'm pretty sure my parents are taking me out for dinner. After that, I have no idea. I was an English major. All that's helped me do is critique my rejection letters. Didn't want me to be an English major when I first went down to school. He's like, Michael, if you make the right decisions in 10 years, people will be calling you Dr. Michael. I was like, Dad, I don't want to be a rapper. I don't have a job. My mom the other day was like, Michael, you don't have a job? Why don't you just work at McDonald's? I was like, because I don't want to lose my eligibility for their Monopoly game.
This is going to be a good hour. This is WRJN Historical Marker number 12. We're tracing the history of WRJN leading up to our 100th anniversary coming up on December 6th, 2026. Where's my head? 2026. I'm dealing too much with the history of the station with the 1900s. And one of the most influential and probably one of the longest owners of WRJN, Skip Bliss, is with me from Bliss Communications. He was the president and CEO, actually the owner, let's just call him the owner, of WRJN for 17 years. According to my records, you bought the place in 1997. You kept it to 2014. It was very profitable. We had 20 or so people working here at any given moment. And we think you're one of the best owners in the company's history. So
That's pretty good. A lot of people have nothing but nice things to say about you. So that's pretty good. And thanks for joining us, Skip. Do appreciate it.
Well, you're more than welcome. And I guess I must have fooled more people than I thought.
Now, you had a great list of people working with you, like Bob Daley, who was the he ran the stations and so forth. But you also own newspapers, and you owned one of the most influential papers, one of the biggest in the state, the Janesville Gazette. Now, give us a little bit of the history of that, because that was not started by you or your father. That goes way back.
Yeah. My great grandfather. In the middle 1800s, brought a printing press to Janesville, and I think it came on a wagon or something.
It had to, horseback.
they published it for a long time, and my grandfather took over late in the 1800s, and we had a nice string of longevity in the family, so we've been around for a long time, and actually once the newspaper had really taken hold and Janesville was growing, my dad had an interest in radio, and he was a bit of a pioneer in radio himself. The license for WCLO that was issued was actually, I think the original license was issued to someone in the Kenosha area, and the call letters that they established, the WCLO, he had some business interest in some sort of a camp, and the camp was called Camp Lake Oats or Lake something, and that's where the WCLO call letters came from at the time. We've been around for a long time.
Now, was WCLO in Kenosha at one time? I think it was.
No.
It was
originally licensed, and that's, like I say, where the Camp Lake,
okay.
Camp
right.
Lake Oaks, but it was never, he never built it out, and so my dad bought the license and moved it to Janesville, and the rest is history.
So now you own, your company owns a newspaper at this point. You own a local radio station, WCLO. When did it start to expand to newspapers all over the state of Wisconsin, radio stations in Illinois, all of the Upper Peninsula, and all over the place?
Yeah, that all really kind of kicked off in the early 70s. It was a time when I think there was a lot going on. Newspaper families were having family related discussions about who wanted to stay in the business and who wanted to cash out, and so there was turnover in the industry. And newspapers, to a large degree, played a pretty significant role in the growth and establishment of broadcast radio. So, you know, as some of those newspaper families were having issues in terms of inheritance and stuff, I think the radio stations began to come into play, too. There's been a marketplace for quite a long time for newspapers and radio. There's more turnover, has been for 20 or 30 years, than once was the case. You know, if you owned a newspaper, your family owned it for eternity. It's not the case really anymore.
So How many newspapers did you own at the peak? And how many radio stations did you own at the peak? Do you remember?
Oh, I think we had 7 radio stations and 5 newspapers. The newspapers were all dailies, but they were, Janesville was the largest daily that we had. And then the other dailies were in the 5,000 to 10,000 circulation. They were smaller communities, Marinette, Wisconsin, Ironwood, Michigan. That was a fun one. I had oversight responsibility for both of those papers. And back in the ancient times, I traveled a fair amount to both of them. And traveling to Ironwood, Michigan to do what I could to help those folks, that's a trip. It's the weather in Ironwood, needless to say, can be pretty rough. And so that was a tough trip to get up there. When I went, I usually stayed for a while because you never knew when the snow was going to melt.
Yeah. Hold on a second. We're talking to Skip Bliss, the former owner of WRJN Radio. And this is WRJN historical marker number 12. I didn't want to make you 13 in case you're superstitious. So I think we're going to jump from 12 to 14. I don't think anybody wants to be stuck with number 13. More with Skip coming up in just a moment. We'll talk about when they purchased WRJN, when they sold WRJN. All that's coming up in just a moment here. WRJN local news, timeless hits, becoming sunny today with a high near 20. Right now it's cloudy and 18 degrees right here at Radio Park.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fans of Abbott Elementary, which should include everyone, will be excited to hear that the show has been renewed for a 5th season. News comes on the heels of good winter ratings and a crossover episode with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia that drew over 8 million viewers. The show is about an underfunded inner-city Philadelphia public school and has great laughs. Abbott Elementary airs Wednesday nights at 7:30 on ABC. Star Wars might be about to get a little more dreamy. Sure, Deadpool and Wolverine director Sean Levy is on board to helm, and people seem happy with the script. But it's the rumors that Ryan Gosling will lead the cast that's gotten everyone excited. If Gosling signs on, the film will start principal photography very soon, according to The Hollywood Reporter. In other Star Wars news, The Mandalorian and Grogu is headed to theaters summer of 2026. Anyone else having trouble keeping these films straight? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are your auto and home insurance rates too high? Then call the folks at Bain's AAA Insurance Agency to see if they can help save you money. Licensed in both Wisconsin and Illinois, they have been in business since 2014, serving the Racine, Mount Pleasant, Kenosha, and surrounding areas. Bain's AAA has sold thousands of customers AAA road service, auto, homeowners, condo, renters, life, and umbrella insurance, plus personalized service to fit your family's ever-evolving needs with competitive rates. Call Annette today at 262-672-4702.
Coverage is subject to all policy terms, conditions, exclusions, and limitations. Discounts and savings opportunities subject to eligibility requirements, subject to underwriting requirements. AAA Insurance is a collection of AAA branded insurance products, services, and programs made available to qualified members. Personal lines insurance is underwritten by Auto Club Group Insurance Company, Auto Club Insurance Association, and AAA Life Insurance Company.
Fountain Hills Apartment in Racine has an incredibly rare opening of a one-bedroom apartment with a special extended 15-month lease. Fountain Hills in Mount Pleasant was named number one for senior living by senioradvisor.com. With amenities like on-site management and heated parking, Fountain Hills' top priority is safety with a locked lobby and thorough cleaning. Grab this rare one-bedroom apartment today at fountainhillsapartments.com or call 262-886-9200 right away.
I had the worst dream last night. You were in a car crash, and the kids and I were on our own. We had to move out of the house because I couldn't afford it anymore.
That's awful, hon.
My brother was saying he got life insurance from Ethos. With Ethos, it only took 10 minutes, and he got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day. It's all online. No medical exam. He just answered a few health questions right from his house.
Ethos, here we come.
Visit GetEthos.com. That's GetEthos.com.
Sample rate is a 10-year term life policy for 35-year-old healthy, non-smoking male. Build monthly.
the Badgers.
Feeds Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Pivots,
fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Slam dunk, Steven Crow hammers it down.
Catch every game all season long right here on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Local news, timeless hits, WRJN, welcoming Herman's Hermits and the Association.
There's a kind of hush all over the world tonight.
The Genesee Theater in Waukegan, February 28th, has a great show planned. Herman's Hermits and the Association, and we'd love you to be there. Dan Marcus has interviews with Peter Noon all next week. When you hear the interview, remember what they talk about. Later in the afternoon, Kurt Volman will want to know. If you can tell him, you could win a pair of tickets. The Association with Herman's Hermits.
WRJN.
This is WRJN, historical marker number 12. We're talking to former owner Skip Bliss. I've been blessed to have so many good owners to work with here, starting with Tony Gazzana, and then yourself. Mm-hmm. And then we also had Marcus Gazzana, which was Greg Marcus from Marcus Theaters was on the station at one time. And current owner Sage Weil, who owns Civic Media. But I got to say, you're in that batch of the most wonderful owners I had to work the pleasure to work with, and I do appreciate it. Your company was never anything but good to me, and I've got a story coming up later on to tell people how good you were to me, and that's coming up a little later on. We'll save that. Okay, so we talked about your great-grandfather starting with the newspaper, brought a printing press and Conestoga wagon to Janesville. Probably, I mean, really. I mean, the 1800s?
Yeah.
Probably a Conestoga wagon with a printing press in it. Drawn by horses, and it evolved into many newspapers and radio stations. What made you buy WRJN?
Well, I mean, I think, as you said, there were people. It was a time when there were transitions in families and local radio stations that were. They're not always handed down like I don't know like TV sets and houses, but I think there was an opportunity. We liked radio. My dad was a radio guy. Really, there were a lot of other members of our family over the years that were involved at the newspaper, but he loved radio, and had he died too early, and we had outside the family management, Marshall Johnston, who also had an interest, and of course our radio stations were being managed by Bob Daly, who was was a bit of a legend in the Wisconsin radio world also. And when we sat down and decided that it was maybe time to take a look at expanding the company and whether we wanted to do that with newspaper acquisitions or if we wanted to look at radio, and we decided let's go looking for some radio stations. The fact of the matter is that they're much like newspapers in their communities anyway. I mean, they're, you know, you're in the news business. Good radio stations are stations that are covering the local community and to a degree doing it pretty aggressively. So it was a good fit. And there were other people that we knew in the newspaper world that were already buying radio stations around the country. And so
we got started, and eventually we were fortunate enough to get to six or seven markets, and all small to medium size, much like Racine. And it was a good business.
You owned a station in Dixon, Illinois, correct?
Yes.
That was the station President Reagan used to work at. That's a story.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That. I was about to say, yeah, that was historic.
Matter of fact, there was a local hotel outside of Dixon, and I was never aware of it, but the family that owned the Dixon properties decided that some of the meetings that were held between our company and theirs while we were looking at acquiring them, some of those they wanted to hold at a local facility that had some limited meeting space, as well as a hotel and restaurant attached to it. And the hotel, I can't remember the name of the hotel, the property, but they had a room in Dixon where when Reagan visited, it was the Reagan room. And this was after much, there was a lot of time since that happened, but I stayed in the Reagan. I can remember when we were acquiring the Dixon radio stations, my room was the Reagan room. And so my claim to knowing Mr. Reagan is limited to sleeping in apparently the bed that he slept in.
That puts you 1 degree away from Ronald Reagan. That's pretty good. Plus, you owned his radio station too. Hold on.
Yeah. Well, we got the radio station in the deal. So
we're talking to Skip Bliss, former owner of WRJM. We've got lots more to talk about. And he is historical marker number 12, the history of WRJN. More with Skip coming up in just a moment. But first, here's Paul Harvey.
Now, the rest of the story. Johnny was frightened, and with excellent reason. Confederates had already executed a young boy, even younger than Johnny, on suspicion of being a Yankee spy. One false move, one miscalculation, even a single stroke of unavoidable bad luck. And Johnny could be next. Or perhaps Johnny's young pal, Bill Wagoner. Were Johnny and Bill stopped, they might fast talk their way out of it. But should anyone rummage beneath the hay in their wagon, they would surely be robbed, maybe shot, maybe killed. How these two youngsters came to expose themselves to such danger is the rest of the story. Ever since he was 7, little Johnny Newton knew precisely what he wanted to do with his life. He wanted to distill and sell whiskey. At the time, he was earning a salary as a houseboy to a Lincoln County, Tennessee Lutheran minister who just happened to be a whiskey distiller on the side. Johnny pestered the preacher to teach him the distiller's trade, which he did. Not everybody in his minister's congregation approved of his sideline. By 1860, it had created such a controversy that he decided to abandon it. In fact, he offered to sell the distillery to his houseboy, Johnny, on credit. Johnny was then 13, who'd been saving $5 out of his pay every month, jumped at the opportunity, and thus armed with the proper equipment and experience, the boy realized his childhood dream. He became the youngest sour mash maker and distributor in the business. At first, Johnny hoped to relocate his operation closer to Lynchburg, from which rail delivery would vastly expand his market, but then intruded the uncivil war. Potential battlefields were everywhere. Johnny would just have to leave his distillery where it stood and deliver the goods personally. With the assistance of a one-year older friend named Bill Wagoner, Johnny made weekly sales trips to Huntsville, Alabama. Still only 13, he loaded a 2-mule wagon with whiskey jugs and covered them with hay and armed only with a pocket knife, set out across some of the most perilous territory in either state. By Union soldiers, the boys might have been shot as Confederates. By Confederate soldiers, the youngsters could have been killed as Confederate Army deserters or even Union spies. And, of course, non-military marauders who discovered the sour mash would simply steal it. And then when the boys reached their destination, things really got rough because they'd been forbidden by the sheriff to sell in the city. So they would sneak in after midnight and secretly peddle their whiskey to grocers and saloon keepers and restaurateurs. And that's the way Johnny did business, smuggling and sneaking throughout the war between the states. That same business that grew up in Lincoln County, Tennessee, has changed considerably over the past century, although some of the folks who partake of Johnny's recipes swear that they taste just a touch of the hay from the back of that two-mule wagon. Anyway, today Johnny's name is virtually synonymous with this product. But now whenever you hear it, you'll recall the adventures of the smallest smuggler in the South, the 13-year young Johnny Newton. Johnny Newton Daniel. Jack Daniel? Jack Daniel. Now you know the rest of the story.
And you can hear another rest of the story coming up today at 12:05 with Dan Marcus. Don't forget to learn how your business can be a sponsor of one of the most popular shows ever to air on WRJN. Call us during business hours, 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. It's 7:31. Let's check news in the morning, see what's going on. Here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A Racine-based company is growing in Franklin. Modine is set to open up a new 153,000-square-foot facility in Franklin. It's said to be dedicated to producing thermal management systems for various vehicles and equipment. The expansion is expected to create 200 full-time jobs within about 5 years. In a statement, the Franklin mayor says the development is a great win for the city. He's highlighting a $1.6 million tax incentive program for the company. A retired four-legged law enforcement veteran has died. The Racine County Sheriff's Office has announced the passing of retired canine Nitro. The 12-year-old Belgian Malinois German Shepherd mix served the department for 9 years. The office says during his career, canine Nitro took down bank robbery suspects and hit on large amounts of illegal drugs. Sheriff Schmaling says the dog's contributions to the Racine County Sheriff's Office will not be forgotten. And a Racine brewery may open back up across the street. Littleport Brewing, which recently closed its downtown Racine location on 3rd, may find new life in the historic Wiggly Mill building. The owners of the brewery posted earlier this month that they had to close due to financial challenges. A post this week says the Littleport proprietors are now exploring the possibility of relocating to their riverfront property. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you on a Thursday morning. Congress has yet to pass an updated farm bill. Right now, we're riding along on extensions of the 2018 version. But dairy margin coverage is still an option for dairy producers. DMC is a margin protection program offered through the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Enrollment in this program starts on January 29th. Extension dairy economist Leonard Polzin has the details.
Right now, the program is a continuation of previous year's programs, right? So what that means is that since we don't have a new farm bill, we're looking at simply continuing with what we had. So what that means on the farmer level is that we're not updating any production histories. We're not having any changes to programs. It's status quo, right? But that doesn't mean that you need to not enroll. You still need to enroll. You still need to go to the FSA office and make sure you get all of your paperwork in order with them. So sign-up period starts January 29th and runs through March 31st. And again, that sign-up takes place at the Farm Service Agency office.
Leonard Polzin is a dairy economist with the Division of Extension, encouraging producers to consider the Dairy Margin Coverage Program for risk management. Stick around for a look at our morning commodity prices coming up.
Did you- you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Join the Midwest Farm Report team along with Wisconsin soybean and corn growers at the 2025 Corn Soy Expo on February 6th and 7th at the Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Learn from industry experts on disease updates, cover crops, DOT standards, weather patterns, and more. Comedian Greg Warren will bring humor to the closing of the event. Connect with fellow farmers and share ideas among the breakout session, and don't miss the popular beer and bowl session. For more information or to make plans to attend, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
Thursday from Chicago, grain markets are pushing lower. December new crop corn is down a penny at 458.5. November new crop soybeans are down 2.25 cents, trading at 1044.5. And July new crop wheat is trading 4.5 cents lower at 573.75. The Class 3 milk prices are mixed on a Thursday morning. The February contract is up 3 cents at $19 a hundredweight, and the March contract is trading 7 cents lower at $18.94 a hundredweight. That's what's happening in the marketplace on Thursday, January 23rd. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 20 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 10 to 20, and that'll keep the wind chill hovering either side of zero here for a good chunk of the day. Tonight, 4 above. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 22. We're back to 35 by Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
When my wife's really annoyed with me, she doesn't give me the silent treatment. She'll just take too long to answer a simple question. She'll just be standing a foot away looking at her phone, and I'll be like, hey, what time do we have to do that school thing? And she'll just be like... It's in the calendar. I'll be like, are you mad at me? No.
And this morning, we have historical marker number 12, the history of WRJN, and that is Skip Bliss, who owned WRJN from 1997 to 2014, 17 years. Hope I did the math right on that. I tried to do it without a calculator, and I think I did it in my head okay. And he bought the radio station from Tony Gazzana and Greg Marcus. Tony owned it when I first came here, and then he joined up with Greg Marcus from Marcus Theaters. They owned it for a while, and then they sold it to the Skip, and you owned it for 17 years. Now, some of the people you had involved in running the station, Bob Daly and Mike O'Brien, those were two instrumental people who helped run the station. And you were very good at selecting general managers because they all stayed a long time. And I don't know if you personally picked them out or it was up to Bob Daly and Mike O'Brien to pick them out. But one of the people you picked out, Chris Morrow, is our general manager here at the radio station today. So who picked out all these employees that you just happened to do a good job with?
Well, I can tell you for sure it was not my skill set. I basically came out of a newspaper background in terms of my own personal work time. Although when I finished my schooling, I did go to radio, and I spent 3 years in West Bend working as a sales rep for WBKV, and had 3 great years up there, and it was a really good experience that kind of kind of gave me some background in the world of broadcasting. That when I came back to Janesville, the newspaper was in need of some additional management support. I love my time in radio, and I was never the guy that picked personnel at any of the radio stations. I relied on Bob Daley primarily. And as time went on, Mike O'Brien, because of Mike's ongoing, Bob was a programmer and a broadcast on-air guy. His whole career was spent in that arena. And Mike was a broadcast sales guy, and they were a fabulous team. So when it came to acquiring these other radio stations, both of those guys were the primary people in looking at what do we have in the way of management at these stations that we were acquiring, and what do we have to do to add quality management going forward. And they were the guys.
I remember the first time I met you. The station was just sold to you, and I met with you, and you talked to me. I said, this guy's pretty nice. I mean, he's acknowledging my existence. That's pretty good right off the start.
Had you fooled, I guess, huh?
Yeah. But you had some great management teams here under you. We had Tim Edis, and of course, Chris Morrow was here under you. And people stayed a long time, which is hard. Not a big thing in radio. Radio is kind of a floating business. People stay a year or two, 3 years, they move on. But under you, the station thrived. Our news department thrived, mainly, I think, because you came from a news background. So we had a great news team here, Tom Carco, Janet Hoff.
Yep.
And
yep.
We had a great sports department with also Gary Sewer was here. We had a great sports department carrying all the local sports. It was really a good local Racine radio station under you. And it really thrived. Sales were good. We made a lot of money. We got a new roof put on our building under you. I'll tell a quick story. We had a guy right before you bought the radio station. We had somebody put a new roof on, did a bad job, and it rained inside the radio station. I don't mean drip, drip, drip. I mean it poured inside the radio station.
My God.
And so Mary Jo Villa, who was your head of HR, her husband came in as soon as you bought the place and put a new roof on the building. And it hasn't rained since 1997 in here, so that he did a good job. And we drip, 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 or rain, rain, rain in here. I also have to tell you a quick story because I don't want to forget. I want to tell you how important your company was to me. In 2011, I had to have open heart surgery. And I remember you were here on some other purpose, and I had to tell you I was taking a month off because I was having this surgery, and I talked to you about it. I talked about artificial heart valves versus real because you had an artificial thing put in your knee. And when I was just about to have the surgery, the day before, you switched insurance companies. Oh. And that sent me into a turmoil because all the stuff I had done with the hospital and everything was based on an insurance company, and then they switched. And I had to get this medication the day before my surgery. They just said, don't forget, you must take this the day before. And I went to Walgreens, and they didn't take it. They didn't have my insurance because we switched. So I called Mary Jo Villa, who's the head of HR, and she said to me, I'm giving them the Bliss credit card. You get whatever you need, and we'll settle this up later on. And so I went in there, and I had to get these medications before the heart surgery, and it was all put on the Bliss American Express card. And it was an emergency. Cut to about six months later, I'm getting medications at Walgreens. They said, do you want this on your American Express card? I said, I don't have an American Express card. Yes, it's Bliss Communications. I said, no, take that off now. We're done with that. We're not going to use that anymore. And then what happened was, it was a snafu because they sent all the names in from all the employees to the new company. The reason they didn't know it wasn't working right was because I was the first person to use it. And so they had to resend the names and everything was straightened out. But I was in a panic because I needed that medication. It was very expensive. And Mary Jo Villa came to the rescue and said, don't worry about it. Get what you need. It's all taken care of. And that's the type of people who were working for you. And I thought
we were very fortunate and she's still employed after our company was sold. She moved into a human resource position with a very, very large company, and she's done exceptional work for them. But she was she is a real quality person. If you're going to specialize in human resources, you're going to be dealing with human needs, and she understood that better than anybody I'd ever met. So she would find a way to deal with special needs, and I'm glad in your case it worked.
Oh yeah,
out.
I was in a panic because I was having a surgery in 12 hours, and they said, take that medication. Don't forget. So I thank Mary Jo Villa very much, and her husband for making a new roof on our building. That was pretty good, too. Now, you owned the station for 17 years, and over that time, you owned WFHR up in Wisconsin Rapids. You owned a bunch of stations around, but they were all really local radio stations. And just a little side note, the company that owns WRJN now, Civic Media, also owns WFHR as well. You made your stations all local radio stations, and you also gave autonomy to a lot of the program directors. And I was the program director here during the entire run of Bliss. And I remember I wanted to spend some money on advertising at WRJN. I went to TV, went to billboards, all that kind of stuff. And I remember it was you. At a meeting said, well, what are your plans for it? And I was ready for that. And I had called the TV stations, the cable companies. I got all the right demos. I got all the shows with the right demos. And I gave it to you. And I remember you said, okay, go ahead with it. It's approved. And I said, fantastic. And it really helped the radio stations. And that's one thing I loved about working for Bliss. If you had a good idea and you can prove it was a good idea, go with it. And there was no double checking. No, we're not doing it because we didn't come up with the idea. And even when I made changes in the programming, I explained it to even Bob Daly, whoever it was, and our general manager. And he said, okay, you think it's a good idea? I trust you. Go with it. And I love that autonomy where stations did well. I mean, I didn't make any stupid errors that I know of. And I loved that aspect of Bliss Communications owning WRJN, because we saw at the time music on AM radio wasn't doing that well. So we went to a talk format at the time. And it really did well for us. We did local talk. We had some national shows in there because talk hosts are very expensive. And eventually went back to oldies, where we're thriving today with oldies. And we do some talk like we're doing right now with you. We do some talk radio on the morning show. But I love the fact that you let the program directors in your company and your general managers run the radio stations. A lot of companies don't do that. They run it from one central location, but you didn't do that.
Well, we spent time, as I said before, you know, the guy that says he did everything in his company and was the only person who was responsible for its success you're not getting the whole story. I was so fortunate because I had people that tutored me and took an interest in me when I was coming into a business that, you know, sure, it was a family business, and it was what was talked about over dinner a lot of times around our house. But there were people who had been hired within our company for many, many years before I got there, and the people that were hired were real quality people, hardworking, smart, and people with a background that they brought to our company that was invaluable. And I, you know, they're, I think the idea that you try to find people in a community or people in the industry to run these properties that companies buy is a critical decision. And, you know, in the case of, we were fortunate to a large degree, the people that were doing the hiring were veteran, experienced broadcast people, and good people hire good people. And we were lucky. We were fortunate. We did pretty well, I think, with, and we have a lot of people today who are, you know, from the period that I was working in the business, people who are now retired, doing other things, but they're still involved. You know, it's like you talking to me. I still like talking about the business, you know, word gets around. There's quality companies to work for in any sector of business, and people like to work for good companies. We were just lucky. We attracted some really great people.
Now you
like
built
yourself.
Thank you. You built a giant printing press. I mean, this place, I took a tour of it, was mammoth. And talk about that a little bit. What made you want to get into that multi-million dollar printing press?
Well, it was a factor of aging equipment in our existing plant, and opportunities to move from just printing our newspaper. This was in Janesville, and it was much more than the press. The press was the feature of the building, but it was a facility. And from the get-go, it was built not only to print our newspaper, and in Janesville, it's a pretty good sized newspaper. We were about a 32,000 circulation daily, but you know, that plant's been in existence now for, gosh, probably going on 20 years, but at the time, other newspapers were dealing with aging equipment. Newspapers in basically the southern half of Wisconsin, and there were opportunities there to work with them and say, look, instead of reinvesting in all of this equipment and all, you know, the newspaper business is equipment intensive, and it's very expensive. And so the opportunity to print up for other people was pretty attractive. It worked.
What made you put an end to Bliss Communications? There had to be a big decision. You didn't wake up one morning and say, you know what? I think I'm done. It didn't work like that. What made you give up and sell the entire company, radio properties, newspapers, and get out of the business? What brought that on?
Well, I got old. It happens. And, you know, I do have a son who is active still in the business and is working actively for the people who purchased our company. You know, the media world's changing, and in many respects, unfortunately, it's changing, particularly for the newspaper industry. It's very expensive to operate newspapers. There are a lot of equipment, and a lot of people. You need resources out in the field to bring people the news about their community, you know, not so much, not so much the rest of the world, but the advent of, the internet and cell phones and being able to access news from around the world with a click of a button on your phone. Unfortunately, in many respects, it's been very hard on the newspaper industry. And not only me, but people who worked with me saw that happening. And it's happened all over Wisconsin. Newspapers have changed hands. Some are no longer being published, and that's a very sad thing, because they're heavily vested in covering their communities, and those communities are not getting the intensive kind of news coverage that they used to get. So,
you know,
the story.
I know how you feel, because when I read in one of the trades that a radio station went dark, which means it goes off the air, I always feel bad because it was once a vibrant part of the community, employing a lot of people. Now it goes dark. And that's a horrible feeling for me, because I've been in radio for 53 years, my entire life. And I've been working continuously in radio for 53 years. So I take it like you take the newspapers personally when they go out. I take the radio stations personal. Do you know, in 53 years, I was only fired once from a job. Once in 53 years. You know what station that was? This one. The guy you sold it to fired me. And, well, here I am back again. But I want to say, in the last few minutes here, we have been blessed in this radio station with great owners. Now, if Tom Karka was here, he could tell you the owners from day one. We had the Racine Journal News, which is where WRJN gets its call letters from. We've had so many great owners over the years. I worked with Tony Gazzana, I said, then with Greg Marcus, Gazzana Marcus, Marcus Gazzana, and you and the folks here at Civic Media. They brought back local radio, just like you. When you left, it was a local radio station. The people at Civic Media came back with the phrase hometown radio refreshed. So this station, you're at the whim of whoever owns it at that time. And for 17 years, the people you had in charge, Bob Daly, Mike O'Brien, everybody down the line, kept it a local radio station. So it was able to still exist with great audiences. Our numbers are just great in the ratings. We are doing very well here because you kept it a local station, and Civic Media, Sage Weil, kept it a local radio station. So for that, I know the city of Racine, all the people in the county, and of course the employees here, thank you. Because for 17 years, Skip, you kept it a vibrant radio station. And I'm going to let out one little secret a lot of people don't know. Your name's not Skip, it's Sydney.
That's correct. I'm a junior. That was my father's name, and so it was apparently it was too complicated to have and when it was time for breakfast in the morning to call Sid for breakfast, because there were two of us in the house. So my dad was a sailor, and he nicknamed me Skipper.
We let that dirty little secret out of the bag finally after all these years.
Yep.
Because I never remember anybody calling you anything but Skip. You know, I remember there used to be a fear that went through the station. Skip is coming in today. Uh-oh. Skip's coming. We always thought some horrible thing was going to... Uh-oh, Skip's... And all you did was come in. I want to see my radio station and meet everybody again. Say hello. But it was Skip's coming.
Yeah, I actually had a desk for a while that I could park myself at when I would come to the radio station. So.
Well, let me say that we miss you. You're a great human being. I'm so glad you had a chance to be historical marker number 12 and not 13. Historical marker number 12. And for anybody missing the broadcast, this will be podcast this week. And so everybody will be able to get it. It will also be I think the Racine Public Library is going to preserve this forever. They're going to put it in their archives. So 100 years from now, they're going to say, who owned this place back in the late 90s? And we're going to find out. Skip, thank you very much for coming on this morning. I really do appreciate it. And I want you to hold on the line a second, okay?
You bet.
Don't go anywhere. Stay right where you are.
Wow, that was great. Historical marker number 12, Skip Bliss, former owner of WRJN. Exactly 8 o'clock on the noggin. Let's check our news.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN, Racine, Kenosha.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Firefighters in Southern California are battling a new wind-driven wildfire that's triggered evacuation orders and warnings for tens of thousands of people north of Los Angeles. L.A. County Fire Captain Sheila Kelleher tells CBS Mornings.
Today we'll be really pulling that fire in, off those fire lines, but sure made a huge impact last night as those winds laid down.
Correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti is in Castaic.
While some residents armed themselves with garden hoses, others were wasting no time in leaving.
It's pretty scary and I'm not going to take the risk. I'm going.
Idania Perez is one of more than 30,000 residents ordered to evacuate.
My brother just lost his home over in Altadena fire and now I'm like, oh my God.
We're learning more about President Trump's plans to crack down on illegal immigration. Among them, an order to the Pentagon to send more troops to the southwest border. Correspondent Nancy Cordes is at the White House.
Trump